This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The man who wants to talk Cavaliers with us. We love reading his stuff every day in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, and he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Super friend of the show, Chris Fedor, is with us. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning to you.
Chris.
Here we go. We're 4 games into this thing, and it's been intriguing. We've seen this team grow a little bit in just a short little period. Give me your initial thoughts on this team we're not even 5 games in yet, but just your initial thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a lot to figure out when it comes to this team. And they're still coming together, and they're still learning how to win. But you see signs of it, right? You see signs of J.B. Bickerstaff figuring out his rotations. You see signs of the tall ball format working for them. You see signs of Evan Mobley looking like a Rookie of the Year candidate. You see signs of a young team learning from mistakes that they made last year and mistakes that they made at the beginning of the season in terms of closing out games and an inability to do that, and then finding a way. And that's what they did in the last 2 games against Atlanta. They took a lead in the fourth quarter against Atlanta, and they closed the game in a way that they couldn't in fourth quarters against Charlotte and Memphis. And if you remember those 2 games, there were turnovers late in the game. And when it was a tight game, a one-possession, two-possession game, the Cavs crumbled. They could have done that last night against Denver, especially in the third quarter when things were getting chippy and the crowd was really into it and the Cavs offense wasn't looking the way that it did at the beginning of the game. But they found a way to win, and they're learning how to win.
Chris, in the first 2 games, they gave up a lot of points to Memphis and Charlotte. And you thought, all right, this three big guy thing's not going to work defensively. And then they do great defensively against 2 really good offensive teams in Atlanta and Denver. And you think, boy, this 3 7-footer thing's going to work out beautifully. Where is it? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
Well, I mean, I really like the fact that it gives them size, length, and defense behind what is a smaller backcourt. I would say it's a non-traditional backcourt that certainly has some limitations on the defensive end of the floor. We've seen that for the last couple of years. That's one of the big questions about, can this pairing between Colin Sexton and Darius Garland hold up? The defensive end was the one that you pointed to first and foremost. How are they going to be at the point of attack? And there are still questions about how they can match up defensively against some of the top backcourts in the NBA. But when you have the size, the length, the athleticism, the versatility, the mobility behind them, it helps to mask some of those weaknesses. And we've seen that in the first 4 games. Is Lauri Markkanen completely comfortable at the 3? No. Does it maximize all the things that you want from Markkanen? No. But that size bothered Denver. Size bothered Atlanta. If you look at NBA totals this morning, the league leader in contested shots this year is Evan Mobley with 72 of them. Third in the NBA is Jared Allen with 52 of them. So just having that kind of size to protect this smaller backcourt is very, very valuable to the Cavs. And if you look at the first 2 games against Memphis and Charlotte, that wasn't so much about how bad the Cavs' half-court defense was. Like, they got burned repeatedly in transition, and both those teams really made the Cavs pay for their own mistakes. But in the half court, the metrics point to this thing working so far.
Hey, I really don't want to be like over the top about this, but we were talking about the, you know, the Cavs' ability to dish the ball around and, you know, to be able to create assists. And then you just got to just look at the stats and see what Ricky Rubio has done in the majority of these games about being able to deliver the ball to other guys. Can you size up his influence on this and what a realistic expectation you might have for the entire season has been? Because so far, it's been a nice little jolt.
Yeah, I don't know that it's easy to quantify the things that Rubio brings to this team. But I'll start here, guys. They played the majority of last season without a backup point guard. That is going to kill teams. Like, when Darius Garland was not on the court last year, the Cavs had an offensive rating of 104.9. To put that in perspective, extrapolated over the entire season, it would have been 28th in the NBA. That was like the way that the Orlando Magic were playing on offense. So that goes to show you, like, the difference between a starter and a backup, first and foremost, and a starter and whatever it was that the Cavs were using as a backup last year. So now they have a competent ball handler, somebody who can run the offense, a veteran who has seen everything throughout the course of his NBA career. And I was there sitting courtside in Memphis, and I was watching Rubio up close. The game is moving in slow motion for him. He's using hand signals, pointing everybody where they need to be. He's always a calming presence out there on the court. And yes, he was really, really bad in the fourth quarter against Charlotte. But since then, you know, he backed up his words after taking ownership of that particular loss. So just having that kind of steadying force, a starting caliber point guard that is the backup to Darius Garland, is vital to this team. And it just gives them a different dimension offensively, and they make it so that, you know, when Darius goes to the bench or he misses time for whatever reason, the offense is not going to completely fall apart. If anything, it might even take a tick up because Rubio just has more experience and he is better in certain situations at this point of his career than Darius Garland is.
Chris Fedor joining us. Chris, Cavs leading scorer so far this season, Colin Sexton, 19 points a game. He averaged 24 points a game last year. You need his scoring, but do you need him to score 24 to win, or is this a different beast this year, this team?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different, guys. I think you're seeing the way that they're using him this year is very different than the way that they've used him in the past, especially when Darius Garland is healthy. A lot of stuff that Colin is doing is coming off the ball and in the flow of offense, and that's what you want. You know, there are some moments where it's just, you know, put the ball in Colin's hands and he's got what they believe is a mismatch and he can try and exploit that. But for the most part, it's coming within the flow of the game, within the rhythm of the offense. And that's really, really important to this whole thing. And the way that the Cavs came into this year wanting to be not just one guy, you know, Darius is going to touch it. Collins going to touch it. Markkanen's going to touch it. Mobley, same thing. Allen, same thing. Like, there were times yesterday against Denver where they ran the offense through Evan Mobley, and I think they scored on four straight possessions or something along those lines. So it just doesn't have to be a my turn, your turn type thing. It's going to be what they hope is a team-oriented style where it's a share-the-wealth approach.
Kevin Love had a nice night last night. Jeff and I were talking about, you know, him trying to get used to, yeah, trying to get used to coming off the bench for a guy that's been a starter for so long. Just give me your thoughts on Kevin. Last night, I thought it looked great. If we get more nights out of him like that and can stay healthy, okay. Sounds good to me.
I mean, I think I wrote it coming off of preseason, guys. And what it comes down to me is that, yeah, there are going to be nights where he's not going to be very good. I think it was the opener against Memphis where he was just a non-factor. But he has proven that when healthy and engaged, he can still be an asset for this team. Coming off the bench, playing against backups, spacing the floor, knocking down shots, taking advantage of mismatches, like, those are all things that Kevin can do. And I think the best thing that the Cavs are doing is not giving him as much responsibility, not giving him as many expectations. And a big reason for that is because Markkanen can do a lot of the same things that Kevin can do. Markkanen brings a lot of the things that the Cavs missed the last couple of years because Kevin wasn't out there because he wasn't healthy. But when engaged, when healthy, he can be an asset in this particular role where they don't need him to be the focal point, where they don't need Kevin to be what he signed up to be back in 2018. And playing next to Ricky Rubio has really, really helped him because it's somebody who can keep him engaged, keep him involved, make sure that he gets his touches. And it's somebody who can see things that maybe some of these other young guys don't see at the same kind of level. Like Kevin and Ricky, in terms of basketball IQ, in terms of experience, in terms of knowledge of other teams and other defenses, they're more in lockstep than Kevin's going to be with somebody like Colin Sexton or Darius Garland, just because that's the reality of where they are in terms of their careers and their experience. So I think that has really helped and refreshed Kevin. Again, there are going to be bad nights. There are going to be nights where he misses shots. But last night, he was a huge asset. And I think he has shown throughout the course of this year, so far early on, that there's a spot for him in this rotation. And it's not what he got paid $30 million to do, but on this particular team, it should be good enough.
Chris, there was all kinds of trade talk about Kevin, obviously, you know, in the offseason. Same thing with Colin Sexton. Where do you think all that stands right now? Are the Cavs thinking we need to tweak this thing, or are they thinking, let's see where this thing goes?
I think the Cavs, by nature, are opportunistic. You know, I don't think they set out this past offseason with Lauri Markkanen as their target. But an opportunity presented itself, and things happened. And they went out and they got a guy who they feel like still raises their ceiling in terms of this organization's future. So look, if the price tag of Ben Simmons comes down and Philly is willing to take the kind of package that the Cavs can offer, which is a young player-centric or a draft pick-centric package, and people around the NBA don't believe that that's what Philly is going to take. But if they do and the price tag comes down, then I think absolutely the Cavs would jump on that kind of opportunity. And they're going to be involved in the Ben Simmons trade conversations until Ben Simmons is traded. But I don't think the Cavs are looking at it saying, like, we need to move Colin Sexton. We need to move Kevin Love. I think they still want to see what this thing can look like. But again, if an opportunity presents itself, and they have the kind of pieces that another team would want, then they're absolutely going to explore avenues to try and make this team better. And the reason why you hear Kevin come up is because his salary is so high that it's the one that's going to match, you know, that big-time star if the Cavs try and go that direction. And because, you know, he's 33 years old, this is year 14, and he doesn't fit the timeline of this group. He is an asset. He does provide the leadership that they need and some of the maturity that they need, but he doesn't fit their timeline when you're talking about, you know, 3-5 years down the road. So if he can be a vehicle to improving 3 to 5 years down the road, and right now he's a negative asset, but if his salary can be used in that kind of way, then absolutely they would move on.
Safe travels, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Good stuff, man. Thanks for getting us up to speed. Yep. Appreciate it.
You got it.
All right. He is Chris Fedor, and he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.